Now, here's your host, Tom Donahue, an investigative broadcaster and a man on a mission.
Good day and welcome, America and beyond. I'm Tom Donahue for Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Reports, and going back into the vault at Tom Donahue Show, America's Town Forum, nearly three decades ago, close to 29 years. It was my second month in national syndication. Wow, we had a special guest, and I thought it would be timely with the Super Bowl, with Fox being a major network carrying the Super Bowl. And they have a program called SmackDown, and many of the professional wrestlers, I know Vince McMahon likes to call them superstars, but they are wrestlers. The operative word is wrestling, wrestlers. And I interviewed the legendary Ric Flair, who at the time, in his prime, was the world heavyweight champion representing NWA, which became World Championship Wrestling, WCW. Wow, I mean, I was a young guy, my very early 30s. Like I say, it was nearly 29 years ago, almost three decades ago. And the interview still stands the test of time. And I'm pretty amazed that this interview was lingering in the cybersphere, you know, in the digital world. And I also had an audio tape of it as well. So what I decided to do was, you've had enough impeachment, okay? Impeachment fatigue syndrome. And they call it sports entertainment. They are athletes. Many, many people have caught on to the fact that it's entertaining and it's also very athletic in terms of the feats that they accomplish. And Ric Flair is interesting in this interview. I asked him, how long do you think he would continue wrestling? Remember, this is 1991, May of 1991. And he said about 5 years. He wrestled a lot longer than that, accomplished so much more in the WWE at the time, WWF. And I thought a lot of his answers were very interesting, intriguing, somewhat surprising in many instances. He was very candid. And so I think this is going to get a lot more shelf life as people rediscover, maybe first time discovering this interview. And I think Ric Flair would be very impressed with his performance in the talk radio arena. And I can't believe that he spent that much time with me, although it was somewhat promotional of the wrestling card coming up, but also, pay-per-view. And the local event, because I, at that time, Sun Radio Network was located in Clearwater, Florida, right in the Tampa Bay market. Actually, the network owned a station right there. That was the home base. So it was a really interesting time. It was a very different kind of interview. I hope that you enjoyed this. I hope this will take you back in time. And I know many people at this juncture, in sports entertainment, in the wrestling world, professional wrestling, know, of course, who the legendary Ric Flair is. Woo! And enjoy your Super Bowl too. Oh, and remember, if you hear a phone number, and if you hear this program and you're going, wow, a lot's happened, that is not explained. This was May of 1991, going back in the vault, vintage classic interview, myself, Tom Donahue, and the wrestling legend, Ric Flair.
Hello, America, and welcome. You're listening to Tom Donahue via the Sun Radio Network. Talk line numbers are 1-800-878-8255. That's 1-800-878-TALK, T-A-L-K. Are you ready for some high-flying mat action? Well, that's exactly, we're taking a switch here. It's not politics we're talking about. You're used to my political views and high-flying action in that area. We're going to go to a different realm here. And like I said, mat action. Have you ever heard of the seven-time world wrestling heavyweight champion representing the organization WCW. Matter of fact, his name is Ric Flair, and I'll tell you what, he certainly causes quite a commotion in arenas and television programs that he's on. And Rick, thanks so much for joining us today.
Glad to be here, Tom. Thank you.
As a youngster, I used to love to watch wrestling. Matter of fact, I lived in the Northeast, and I guess my favorite wrestler, I'm going to ask you to comment on him, was Bruno Sammartino. Did you ever fight him?
Never wrestled Bruno. I know him very well. I have a lot of respect for him, and he was one of the real superstars in our sport.
That would I think they tried to get you two together to fight, didn't they?
No, he retired was retiring about the time I started.
So I think he held at least that portion of a wrestling world title longer than anybody, didn't he?
World Wrestling Federation, yeah. I think he had it off and on for a period of almost 12 years.
Now, how many years have you had your belt, being that you've been the champion for, I think, 7 times?
Yeah, I've lost it, unfortunately, 6 times, but I won it the first time in 1981, so it's been a period of 10 years.
What got you so interested? I mean, obviously, you've excelled at the top of your game. Why did you become a professional wrestler?
Well, as you did, I enjoyed watching a lot as a boy growing up in Minneapolis, and Vern Gagne, who at that time was recognized as the American Wrestling Alliance World Heavyweight Champion, lived in Minneapolis, and I grew up, you know, liking all sports, but I really fell in love with professional wrestling. And when I got the opportunity after my sophomore year in college to get started in professional wrestling with him, I took it, and here I am today.
What happened that there is more than one champion? I know boxing, I mean, that became pretty common the last couple of years, and then they try to unify it. Will there ever be a unifying effort to bring about an official world heavyweight champion?
Well, that I can't answer. Actually, there's only two real alliances today. Of course, the WWF, which is our competition, and the WCW, which is owned by Ted Turner, Turner Broadcasting out of Atlanta, which is the company I represent. You know, we both feel that we are superior to one another, and I don't know if politically it can ever be done. I'd love to wrestle Hulk Hogan. I think it'd be tremendous for the sport. I think it would be tremendous for the fans, and I think it would be tremendous for me financially.
Well, that's certainly an important key.
Sure.
I remember, you know, as a youngster watching wrestling, and back then they had these little tiny alliances. Even then the WWF was a small thing, and they only wrestled like several states. But now I know the two organizations, yours, the WCW and WWF, they go all over the world and throughout the United States. What's happened to all these little federations and organizations?
They just have dried up. They couldn't survive financially, couldn't compete against the big machine. So they, one by one, they closed up. Yeah, there's still a few what we call outlaw groups around that promote, but there's only two real factions in our sport now, the WWF and WCW, and they just can't compete. That's just the bottom line. It's just too big, too much money involved, and too much television, too many politics. It's a big, big business, a $500 million a year business.
Well, that's a lot of money. Now, whatever happened to the NWA? I thought that was the alliance you worked for.
We were the NWA. We were, when Turner bought the NWA, which is basically what he did, he bought the National Wrestling Alliance. He just, you know, took the liberty and had the right to change it to World Championship Wrestling, WCW.
Mm. Now, that's an interesting combination there. Here's a gentleman that's, you know, super rich and very influential, especially through CNN, you know, news broadcasting, and they get so many accolades in that area. What interests him in getting involved with professional wrestling? It almost seems like a dichotomy.
Well, actually, he's a great sportsman. You know, I think a lot of people have forgotten that he won the America's Cup, you know, in 79 or 80. You know, he won the America's Cup. He owns the Braves and he owns the Atlanta Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that even though he's so diversified in other things, I think his real first love is sports. And of course, the sports programming for his superstation, TBS.
Apparently, it must have made him quite a bit of money, and the ratings must be good, because you carry quite a few hours on the weekend on Turner Broadcast.
Sure do. Sir, can you hold on 1 second? I'm going to my phone.
You bet. We've got to take a break anyway, Rick, and we'll be back with Ric Flair, the WCW World Wrestling Champion. You're listening to Tom Donahue via the Sun Radio Network. Call us now, 1-800-878-8255.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store. Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
We're back at the St. Tom Donahue program and high-flying Matt Action. And I mean this with all the seriousness I possibly can because my guest is Ric Flair, seven-time world wrestling champion for the WCW. And Rick, thanks for joining us.
Well, I'm glad to be here again. Thank you, Tom.
Appreciate you holding on with us during the break.
Got disconnected here momentarily. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. We had to take a break anyway, so it was perfect timing. You sustained a massive injury when you wrestled. Matter of fact, I don't think you even had a match that was sanctioned at that point. Terry Funk. Why don't you explain what happened there? And you seemed to become a good guy at that point after that attack.
Well, basically what happened is he came into the ring. He was working for a company in the capacity of an announcer. And he came into the ring to congratulate me after I'd won the title back for the sixth time from Rick Steamboat in Nashville, Tennessee. And he basically took advantage of an ideal situation when I wasn't prepared and you know, really exhausted from a hard-fought match against Steamboat. And I suffered an injury that I thought was going to be career-ending for me at one time because I cracked a disc in my neck or a vertebrae in my neck, and it laid me up for almost 3 months.
Hmm. Now you've formed this group called the Four Horsemen, and for a while there you were perceived as a good guy, and now I guess you're perceived somewhat as a bad guy, but you're going up against this Japanese heavyweight champion in your Super Brawl match. And what do you like better? What do you like to be perceived as? Do you like the hoop and glory that goes along with the Four Horsemen better than you do maybe a good guy?
Well, I'll be quite honest with you. I don't think there's any difference in the way I act in the ring or out of the ring during any of these stages. I think that the public acceptance changes from time to time. You know, sometimes they like to find someone who might not be the most or might not obey the rules. They might look to someone like that as the kind of guy they want to cheer for, as opposed to someone who's you know, the walks a fine line. You know, the public perception of different people. Ken Senko is probably the best outfielder in baseball today, but he's loved by some and hated by others. You know, they hate the braggadocious part of him. They hate the fact that he makes $26 million, but they love the part of the fact that he is a very charismatic individual and he can really, really play the game of baseball. So in my case, I've never changed anything about myself. Public perception is something that, you know, they're entitled to look at me the way they want to. They pay anywhere up to $200 ringside sometimes to see me wrestle. So it doesn't bother me. I don't really think about it, to be honest with you. I go out every night and I feel like I perform at 120%. That's what separates me from the rest. And I think the bottom line in my case is that whether they like me or they don't like me, they respect me. And they know that I'm the best wrestler there is today.
How close a persona are you inside the ring versus outside the ring? Are you pretty much the same person, or how much different are you in your private life?
Myself all the time.
Mm.
That's the key to my success. I don't have to be two different people. I don't think anybody that has to live a life totally different, you know, from night to day or day to night is going to be a real successful at our sport.
Let me ask you, is there times where you have like a non-title match, or there's a match where you happen to be thrown over the top rope, which, you know, you do that yourself sometimes. Why is it when you know the title's not at stake, you get pinned, but if the title were to change hands, you probably would have kicked out after a count of two. Are you just conscious of that? I'm just curious why that is.
I wrestle very few non-title matches. I wrestle in a number of tag matches, but I can't remember the last time that I got beat in a tag match or a single.
I think it was on television. I've seen a couple of times, but it didn't count for anything. And then they got a title match against you. But it always seems like if the title really is on the line, you rarely lose.
Well, I think maybe I'm more focused, you know, knowing the title's on the line. You know, it's that's the do or die for me. And sometimes I'm not saying that I'm any more lax when I'm wrestling in a tag match as opposed to a single match. But when I know I'm wrestling for the world title, I really get focused, and I really am paying attention to what I'm doing. I have to win.
Okay, let's talk to Jim from the great state of New York. Hi, Jim.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Pretty good, and you?
Very good, very good. I'm very interested in your guest today. I have a lot of respect for world-class athletes. But I have some controversy in my mind about wrestling. Stopped watching wrestling about 10 years ago. I was really enjoying it right about the time Rick was getting into it. But I saw a few things that really disturbed me. One was that someone asked a professional wrestler if it was real. It was John Stossel from 2020. He asked Dr. Schultz, David Schultz, if it were real, and Schultz hit him in the face, or hit him in the ear, caused some ear damage. I'm wondering, I watch this with my son or my nephews now, thinking that it's not all real. And I'm trying to get them to appreciate what I loved about high school and college and Olympic wrestling while they're watching world-class wrestling, and trying to find out if some of it is indeed fake, and they cannot do a pile driver on their nephew, their cousin or something, or atomic knee drop without breaking something inside, you know, my little 5-year-old kid.
Jim, I think that's, we got the gist of that. That's some good questions. I guess the two questions there, really, Rick, you know, I guess you saw that 2020 spec, actually did hit the primetime, reporter. And also, the fact is, I guess that's the perennial question, if you can answer that. How much do you feel is real, and how much is, entertainment?
Well, let me answer them in a couple of different ways. First of all, his son very well could not perform an appendectomy tomorrow at the age of 5 any more than he could perform a power driver. He's not trained to do either one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. We're trained to take power drivers. We're trained to give them. We're trained to take neck breakers. We're trained to give them. We're trained to be slammed off a top rope, and we're trained to slam them off a top rope. There's nothing that I do in my sport while I'm in the ring that's any less than 100% real. But I'm qualified and trained to do every maneuver I do, just as a doctor hopefully is, just as a scientist hopefully is, just as a race car driver hopefully is. So to say to your 5-year-old son, you can't do that because you're not qualified, you're not trained, or it's not real, all three of those answers might be right.
Mm-hmm.
Because he certainly can't do it in a way that makes it real.
Are some of these guys really crazy? I mean, that...
David Schultz isn't even in our sport anymore, and I never recognized David Schultz as being any kind of a top wrestler. David Schultz was a guy that walked around our sport for years with a chip on his shoulder. He was a very, very good athlete, and I think at one time he was a good wrestler, but he lost sight of his objectives. He became unfocused, and he was intent on creating a public image that he thought maybe would be the likes of a... Conrad Dobler. He thought he'd be the bad boy of professional sports, you know, or someone like that. And that just didn't work. And you can see what happened. You haven't heard his name since he hit Stossel.
That's true. Now the term is used sports entertainment, at least by the WWF. How do you feel that sports entertainment's an appropriate term for your WCW matches?
Great deal of entertainment involved in our sport.
Now, I know it might be a difficult question, but how much of it, when you go up against somebody, is there anything that, I mean, is it premeditated? Do you pretty much know the outcome, or would you say you don't know the outcome?
Oh, I never know the outcome. And it's funny, we have so many, or have had, and have so many now, people that have, you know, either been on a college, wrestled at the college level, or wrestled even at the Olympic level. We have guys that have played professional football in our sport. And it amazes me that someone can sit out there and actually tell their friend or look at their friend and say, gee, that can't be real. Ric Flair was never a national collegiate champion. Steve Williams was. Rob Ricksteiner was.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Ricksteiner was a collegiate champion, Big Ten champion. But I can compete with any of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Just that I can compete with a lot of other guys that have played pro football. And I make more money than any of them.
That's the key. Rick, let's take a break here. We'll come back and talk further with 7-time world wrestling champion Ric Flair right after this.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Let's get back to the Tom Donahue Show. Always authentic, independent-minded, and truth-seeking.
He's got a match coming up this weekend. That's probably one of the most important matches he's had. Rick, why don't you tell our listeners coast to coast about this?
We have a pay-per-view event Sunday night out of St. Pete, Florida. It's called Super Brawl, Return of the Rising Sun. We feel that we at Turner Broadcasting feel that it will be the biggest pay-per-view event ever seen in the sport of professional wrestling. And the main event is myself against Tatsumi Fujinami, a Japanese wrestler that scored a pinfall on me in Tokyo March 19th, and his political factions behind him worked out a deal with WCW in Atlanta, and they brought the match back over here. I mean, it's a tremendous card. You've got the Steiners against Lex Luger and Sting for the World Tag Team Championship, Ron Simmons against Butch Reed in a steel cage. You've got Arn Anderson against Bobby Eaton for the World TV title. You've got the Giant against Sid Vicious. It's going to be a tremendous night of professional wrestling. But as I said, the main event is a match that a lot of people feel has to take place if I'm going to claim myself as the undisputed World Heavyweight Champion. So Fujinami came into the country yesterday from Tokyo. He's in St. Pete right now. He's preparing. I'm right here in Daytona Beach right now preparing. And Sunday night should be one of the great championship matches of all time.
So tickets are still available for our St. Pete, Clearwater, Tampa Bay listeners?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
As far as I know, they are.
And also through their local cable outlets nationwide.
Super Brawl, Return of the Rising Sun.
Okay.
That's a tremendous program.
Let's go to Richard from Tampa, Florida. Hi, Richard.
Yes, I'd like to know about, have you heard of Tully Blanchard and Ole Anderson? Do you know where they are?
Tully Blanchard's in Charlotte, North Carolina, preaching, and Ole Anderson has a sawmill in Atlanta, Georgia.
Alright, and J.J. Dillon, because I haven't heard of him.
J.J. Dillon works for a company somewhere in Connecticut.
I'd like to say I respect you a lot in wrestling, but I've seen the matches that you have wrestled for the world title. I'd like to say you haven't won the title legally once.
Is that right?
You always had those three stooges on your hand helping you out getting the title, especially with Sting and like Steamboat and Garvin and
Rick, you get a lot of this, don't you, from listeners? Thanks, Richard, for your call and let the champion respond. Because there is controversy sometimes with how the champion wins.
Very controversial figure in our sport.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel guilty at all at times that you may have won where maybe you used some tactics that went beyond fairness?
No, I don't feel guilty about that at all. I make it very clear to everybody, just as I'm saying right now on a national broadcast, that I win any way I can.
Rick, we'll be back right after this with Ric Flair, the World Heavyweight Champion.
Well, good day, stations. This is the Sun Radio Network.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
We're back. Tom Donahue with the World Wrestling Champion, Ric Flair, WCW. Back listening to Tom Donahue program, and my guest is Ric Flair, 7-time World Wrestling Champion, professional wrestling for the WCW. You may have known it as the NWA in the past. And Ric, how anxious are you feeling about this match you have upcoming?
Well, I'm anxious only from the standpoint that we need to clear up any controversy there is over the World Heavyweight Championship. I'm the kind of guy, I really look forward to the challenge. You know, I wish I could tell you that, or I'm sure there's a lot of people would like to hear me say I'm not looking forward to it, or I wish I could postpone it. I'm in the best shape of my life, mentally and physically, and I feel real up about this. And, once again, it'll give me the chance to prove to guys like Richard that I'm the best there is. And that's the bottom line.
Now we know that you've been beaten, I guess 6 times because now you're the 7-time, champion. Were one of those guys that defeated you the toughest match of your life, or could it have been somebody else that we may not even know of? Or maybe you could just name a couple of them. What were your toughest matches?
Well, actually, it's really hard. I get asked that question a lot, Tom. It's really difficult for me to pinpoint one opponent or one match. I feel like I've, you know, competed everywhere from Sydney, Australia to Tampa, Florida, you know, against some of the best wrestlers in the world, and it's really hard for me to just pinpoint one match, but we have a wrestler in our organization by the name of Lex Luger, another wrestler by the name of Sting. Those are their professional names that have both been, have provided me with tremendous competition. Sting beat me for the world title. I mean, I can't deny that. He beat me a year ago in Baltimore, and he came back from a real serious knee operation to do it, so he was focused. You know, he decided that for the 7 months that he sat out that he was going to come back and accomplish something that everybody said that would be, you know, against all odds, and he did it. So I'd have to say he on that given night was as tough an opponent as I've ever had. But I've wrestled against Harley Race, Wahoo McDaniels, the late Bruiser Brody, God rest his soul. I've competed against every great wrestler in our sport today except Hogan. I've never wrestled Hogan. I wish I could, but I've wrestled Roddy Piper and Randy Savage and DiBiase and Kurt Hennig and named on a list. All the top guys in the WWF, and I've competed against all the top wrestlers in the other organization. So, you know, I'm one guy that can sit here and tell you that I have beaten the very best in this sport to be where I am.
I've noticed that there's been a change in wrestling in both alliances where there's less blood. Has there been certain sanctions or sporting commissions that have come down on you guys?
You just haven't been watching any matches that I've been in.
Well, that's true. You do seem to get your head cracked open more than the others. Now,
I wish I could say that I didn't, but no. I don't know that. I just think that for the sake of television that sometimes that they really enforce the rules. They're probably the way they should be enforced all the time. You know, it's, our sport's a lot like ice hockey. The people love the blood and the guts. They respect the technique and they respect the professionalism of course, the great athletes in hockey. But boy, there isn't a fan alive who doesn't like to see the gloves go down and the fight and the blood and everything else. And that's like our sport. They like to see the guys get down and get at it. They respect the great wrestler and respect the great athlete, but they like a fight. And that's a lot of what brings our fans out to the arena.
There seems to be more show and more ceremony and with Vince McMahon's WWF. Would you agree with that? Do you feel like your wrestlers are more scientific? I mean, that they know the holds, they know how to wrestle. Hulk Hogan knows 3 or 4 holds, even though he's strong, but that's about all you'll see.
Well, I think that you got to remember Hulk Hogan is 6'8" and weighs 320 pounds. You know, maybe if I was that big, that's all I'd have to know. I can't take anything away from them or the guys that wrestle in that organization, because I know all of them. I've competed against 99% of them. They've got great wrestlers. I think that they are more tuned to the entertainment business from the standpoint that they come out of New York with a lot of media hype behind them. They really have a lot of strength in the L.A. market, which is around Hollywood. Hogan, of course, has been in 3 or 4 movies. I'd be lying if I didn't say I think the wrestlers in our organization are better. But at the same time, I work for Turner Broadcasting, and now the Turner people have their own movie studios, and I hope that someday they take Ric Flair and put him in a movie. And I hope that, we've got Madonna walking me to the ring, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What else can I say? You know, you're going back to Cyndi Lauper and all that, I'm sure, and Mr. T. But that's a big part of our business now. You see, people forget that those people look to us and hold us in the same esteem as we hold them. I can remember the first time I met O.J. Simpson, you know, I wasn't going to walk across the room and say hi to him.
Mm-hmm.
I was waiting for him to walk over and say hi to me, you know. After looking at each other for about an hour, we kind of met halfway. I mean, that's the way I feel about our sport. I feel like we are as well recognized, and I feel like we're as well paid, and I feel like we are as well received and as well respected as any other athletes in the world.
But you work a lot more, don't you? I mean, tell us about your schedule. How many times do you wrestle a year?
My schedule is horrifying. That part of my sport I'm not happy with. But that's, you know, I think that's what separates me from a lot of other guys. I have had the very, very good fortune of having tremendous health. I've only had 2 or 3 injuries in my career, and only 2 have really been bad. One of them we discussed earlier. But I've been on the road 68 of the last 71 days.
Wow, that doesn't make for a great family life, does it?
No, it really doesn't. But I have an understanding wife, and I've got 4 beautiful kids, and they know their dad's got to make hay while the sun shines.
Now people see you walking with beautiful women, and they must think you're single or something, but you're a happily married man.
Yes,
okay.
I am.
So, I mean, there is that entertainment feature there. I've seen matches on television where we know you or Hogan or someone could take the guy out in 2 minutes. Because if people are paying a lot of money and or want to get their entertainment value, do you let a match go a little bit longer and go through some more holds and some more maneuvers, even though you know you could have taken him out in 2 or 3 minutes?
Well, now I've got to disagree with you, Tom. I can't remember ever being in a match where I felt I could beat a guy in 2 minutes and wrestle him 10. I don't get paid by the minute. I get paid per match.
But if you won in 30 seconds or 2 minutes.
On a match on TV?
Not just on television, but in the arena. Wouldn't the fans feel a little slighted? It seems like some matches go a little bit longer so that people get their dollars worth.
No, I think that, my basic style is to wear someone down with either a series of holds or to wear them down just plain endurance wise. And, I'm not the biggest guy in our sport. I'm the first to admit it. I weigh 240 pounds. So I depend a tremendous amount on conditioning and, a technique as opposed to strength and power, you know. So my style is to wear a guy out. And as 99% of the guys in my business, I can wear out.
Hmm. What about managers, Rick? There seems to be a lot of women managers and managers that don't look like they would know the first thing about a fist fight or a wrestling match. How do they get their jobs, and why would you or anyone else want some of these lightweights?
Well, first of all, I had a woman manager for a period of time, not really a manager, but an assistant, actually, a business manager. But that was only for a short period of time, and it was something I really wasn't comfortable with. I had a lot of respect for her, and she did a good job while we were together. But that's a part of our sport that I really don't get involved in. I don't think that a manager is necessary. I've never had a manager for a world heavyweight title match, and that's to each his own. If a guy goes to our company or comes to our company and says, I've got a valet that I want to use, I've got a manager that I want to employ, and if our company sees some merit in it, then they might give him a chance. But that's basically how that comes to be.
So it would be like the association, the alliance more than anything, saying, why don't you try this out, this might work well, rather than you hiring and needing a personal manager like J.J. Dillon or a woman.
Sure, exactly.
Now, there's so much hoopla over George Foreman, 42, 43 years old, doing so well in boxing. Aren't most professional wrestlers, I mean, isn't that a pretty average age? I mean, there seem to be a lot of guys I've seen that look like they're well into their 50s, maybe even older, that still hang in there.
Well, I think that used to be the case. I don't know of too many right now that are in their 50s that are wrestling. There again, I think that that depends on the quality of the athlete. You know, look at Nolan Ryan. He's my hero. The guy, Nolan Ryan has never won a Cy Young Award, to my knowledge. He has never accomplished a lot of the things that, that people have done in baseball, but he has been there. He's won the 300 games, and year after year, he continuously throws a 95 to 100 mile an hour fastball, and it doesn't make a difference whether he's 35, 25, or 44 like he is now. The guy is a great athlete, and he has held himself together physically. The same applies to Foreman. I've got to be very honest with you. I met George Foreman and know George Foreman. I met him when he was a world heavyweight champion. He weighed 225 pounds. If he had weighed 225 with that fight, he would have been knocked out of Holyfield in the first round.
I think so, too.
Well, I know that's just that's something I'll never understand, because I really felt like when I saw the fight being made, I felt like if Foreman got down to 230, even 235 pounds, I felt like he would have won the fight. And I think it's evident anybody would have. The guy was dragging around 30 pounds too much weight. But, you know, maybe he thought he needed that for power. I've heard his explanation on TV. I saw him on a couple of talk shows. I disagree. I think that as you get older in sports, one of the key things, of course, is to really stay with your weight. And if you can keep your weight around the same that you were in your prime age-wise, then I think, you know, you can pretty much hang in there if you hold yourself together physically.
Mm-hmm. Rick, what kind of money is made by, say, a world champion or someone who's, you know, in the first class, the top realm of the wrestling world?
Well, I think that there's four or five people in our sport that are seven-figure athletes. And I think that you're going to see more of that in the years to come. I think that the average money for a wrestler in our sport now that is considered a main event wrestler is going to be $500,000. And I know a lot of guys that are wrestling, the second and third match on a card, but they're working steady for our organization, and they're making $200,000 to $250,000 a year. That's wrestling 270 times. So they earn their money. But there is a lot of money to be made with the advent of these pay-per-views and with the size of the crowds that we draw now, plus with the higher ticket prices that have, you know, taken place over the years. There's just tremendous amounts of money to be made. That's why when I, talk to Julius Erving or Michael Jordan or Brad Doherty or Nolan Ryan or, you know, I don't think that someone's looking at me and saying, boy, you know, this guy is, he's only a wrestler. He's talking to somebody that does this, right? We're making the same kind of money they are.
Rick, do you ever have trouble on the street where some guy wants to be a big shot and he's going to say, yeah, that guy thinks he can wrestle. He thinks he's a champion. I'm going to go over there and knock his block off. Do you have to worry about security, or how do people respond to you on the street?
Well, in all sincerity, I have very few problems like that. I don't put myself in a situation where I'm going to have that kind of a problem, but as I said earlier, I feel like if someone knows who I am, that I've earned their respect. I don't walk around thinking about something like that, and I don't worry about things like that happening, nor do I look for that kind of problem. So, you know, I've been in this business now for almost 17 years, and I know the ropes probably better than anybody else. I used to say that about guys that were, you know, older than me, but I feel like that the people that know me respect me, and here I am at Daytona Beach, and I'm around thousands of people, and people say, hey, Rick, how you doing? Hey, good luck, Cindy. Hey, champ, how you doing? You know, never a derogatory remark. And I think that you're going to find that for the most part with people that really do follow sports. You know, you're going to hear the sneers and the jeers, but it's not going to be to your face.
Rick, how much longer do you think you'll wrestle, and what are you going to do when you retire?
Oh, I hope to wrestle 5 more years, to be sincere with you. I hope that I've got myself situated the way I want to be 5 more years from now, and I hope that I won't have to do anything if I don't want to. I'd love to always be involved in this sport. I'd love to be in the promotional end of it. I'd like to work with the Turner people that now are specializing in the pay-per-view, the home entertainment part of it. I feel like I would be a tremendous trainer for these guys to help athletes that are coming into our sport. You know, I've got a number of different things. Right now I'm working on opening up a gym in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I hope to attach a sports bar very similar to what Lawrence Taylor built in New Jersey.
Well, closing thoughts, champ, and tell us what you think the result of this match is going to be, and again, where it's going to take place and how people can get involved Sunday.
Well, Tom, it'll be Sunday night, May 19th. It'll take place at the Bayfront Arena in St. Petersburg, Florida. I think there are some seats left for those that will be attending locally, but we are selling the event. It's called Super Brawl, Return of the Rising Sun. It's a pay-per-view event, and they get in touch with the local cable companies. They can buy the show. And as far as Ric Flair goes, he will show everyone once again that there's only one.
Well, good luck, champ. Okay. Thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. We appreciate you.
I really enjoyed it.
Okay, Rick. Well, that's the words from the World Wrestling Champion there for the WCW. We'll be back right after this.
TalkRite, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRite makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRite today from Google Play or the App Store.